Bruce gets to be both the introducer of our service and a participant in it for multiple ways today. He's also one of the deacons that we're installing this morning, so grateful for you serving the dual role this morning. That's awesome. We, as a church, need to be really grateful that we have opportunities like this to have opportunity to install new deacons. It means a lot to a church. I have had the great pleasure to serve as a deacon before a ministry was ever even really on my radar, or that I would become a pastor. It's been very helpful, I think, on one hand, because I got to experience both sides of the predominantly the two ordained roles that exist in the church today. So it was great. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have been on both sides of it. The message today really is about this charge to the candidates and to the church about this role and the installation of deacons. If you wanted to boil it down, that's exactly what this is. It's a deacon ordination and installation service. But I think it will prove beneficial to all of us. For one, it's a good reminder what that office is and what it does, and maybe what it doesn't do. But also, it will help us to remember who our deacons are and be able to put faces with names and be able to identify them and know who they are and where they're serving. There'll be a part in this service where I'll ask those deacons to come forward towards the end. We will pray over them. But there is kind of a call and response for both the deacons, and there's also a part for the church in this service today. So there'll come a point where I'm going to ask a question of you, and you need to answer it, not just ponder it. And that applies both to them and to the church. Deacon ordination, if you were to just boil it down, is the setting apart for service an individual that has accepted the office, met the requirements, and is willing to be held accountable to the position that he now holds. Ordination says, as a church, that we endorse their ministry and calling. So when a church ordains someone, that's very serious. Part of the reason why it's so serious to me is, like I said, there's only two ordained offices in the majority of Baptist churches, the deacon office and the pastor office. And we need to take both of those things very seriously. Because if we cheapen one ordination, we'll cheapen both of them. But if we respect one, we'll respect both. So it's important to me that we're very clear on what ordination is and what we're doing, particularly when it comes to deacons. If you were going to boil their role down, I titled it Servants of the Church, the Role of Deacons. But it's more than just servants of the church. It's leading in service to the church. So a deacon serves as a role model in lots of ways for the rest of us to look at and say, this is how we should serve the church. They serve a very vital role. They're exceedingly important. I can tell you, as a pastor, there's nothing I'm more grateful for than a solid deacon body. There's also nothing that becomes a harder time than an unsolid deacon body. I'm grateful for the men here and the ones that I've served with thus far. You have a good deacon body, and you're installing five good deacons today. One of them is being ordained for the first time, Jacob King, sitting right over here. That's always exciting to me, too. That means we're not just calling up the same people, we're calling up people that haven't stepped into those roles before. It's part of our job as a church is to raise up the future generation of leaders of our church and maybe the community and all churches. So I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to read the verses that kind of tell us about deacons. Hopefully we'll learn some more about them in that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am grateful for a church that has good deacons. I'm grateful for the five that are stepping forward today to become deacons. I pray, Lord, that not only for our existing deacon body, but for me as a pastor, that we mentor them well into service of your church. But Lord, in all of our ordained offices, help us to always hold you as our highest authority. Be willing to submit to you in our service and in humility to one another. Lord, bless our time together. Bless this teaching. Help us, Lord, to learn more about the offices you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So where do deacons come from? Who came up with that concept? Well, you can read it in Acts 6, 1 through 7. It's kind of the first time we see this idea of deacons introduced. It says, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists. I know it's hard to believe that a church has any complaints in it, but this one wasn't even very old and already had complaints. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So this is a legitimate complaint. There's a reason for their complaint. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Often in Scripture we understand Stephen to have been the first martyr, first one killed for his faith. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And they sat before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So they had a problem. The church had a problem. They had a problem that the pastors or the apostles couldn't focus all of their time and attention on. So they said, pick some men among you, full of good faith and wisdom, full of the Spirit, and we'll appoint them to these tasks. And we see the deacon office begin to be established. It's clarified later as far as some requirements or what this should look out, maybe fleshed out a little bit more than the Acts description. When you get to 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, it says, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, means they don't say one thing and do another, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Every church needs leaders who are willing to roll up their sleeves and serve. In today's world, leadership is often associated with power or prestige. However, in church, leadership is characterized by service and sacrifice. That is the essence of what it means to be a deacon. Deacons are not just helpers of the pastor or board members. They are God's appointed servant leaders, vital to the health, unity, and mission of the church. They serve in an extremely important role in our body. We can talk about a few reasons. One is the need for deacons. With early church was growing rapidly and the growth came with needs. A dispute arose. Widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. The apostles recognized that they couldn't do everything themselves without neglecting prayer and the word. It's important for us to recognize and appreciate that every church has physical and spiritual needs. Without structure and servant leadership, those needs go unmet and unity suffers. Deacons exist to protect both preaching of the Word of God for pastors and the unity of God's people in service. Not only that, but it helps us to see the role of the deacons as we look through those passages. Apostles called for men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. It's one of the reasons why I would encourage you, when it comes time each year for us to nominate deacons, make sure you're doing that through both prayer and supplication to the Lord. You want to make sure you're picking people of good repute, full of wisdom, full of the Spirit. Don't do it flippantly or with disregard. This is an exceedingly important role in our church and in the ministry of our church. Their job sometimes looks like taking responsibility for practical service so that the apostles could devote themselves to spiritual oversight. Deacons are servants of tables, not seekers of titles. It's one of the reasons why they are so important. Deacons are supposed to have a level of humility in their service that serves as an example for all of us in the way we approach one another, the way we approach problems within the church. In today's church, deacons may serve by caring for the poor, stewarding finances, overseeing facilities, handling logistics, or leading some projects. But they free the elder or pastors to focus on shepherding, teaching, and prayer. That's why I appreciate a good deacon body so much. The third thing we should look at is the qualifications of deacon. A church may elect a deacon because he's handy, good with numbers, or a natural organizer, but above all, deacons must be known for their walk with Christ. Above all things, it's important that we're not just selecting people from popularity or something else. It's important to understand that the verses that we look at in 1 Timothy are talking about character of the individual. Dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy. Devoted to marriage, managing their household well. The point that Paul seems to make in these verses and that the apostles seem to make in Acts 6 was, if you pick the person with the right heart, they will do the right thing. It was more about who they were than what they could do. Character matters, particularly in a role of ordination. It's one of the reasons why it tells us above reproach. The blessing of deacons also shows up in these verses. In Acts 6, 7, after the deacons were appointed, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. It showed the wisdom of the decision to implement this particular aspect of service in the church, particularly the early growing church. In 1 Timothy 3:13, Paul says, those who serve well gain a good standing and great confidence in the faith. Deacons bless the church by preserving unity, advancing the mission, and embodying Christ-like service. A church with faithful deacons grows healthier, stronger, and more unified. It's one of the ways that we can mark whether or not our deacon ministry is being successful. Are we getting healthier? Are we stronger because of them? Are we more unified by their service? When deacons serve well, pastors can lead well, and the church thrives. They also provide us a living example of Christ. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give His life as a ransom for many. Every deacon is simply imitating Jesus, the ultimate servant. Whether or not we hold the office of deacon, every believer is called to this servant-hearted posture, and deacons can also often be the example we can imitate. Deacons lead the way or set the tone, showing us that the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. The church needs pastors who will shepherd, teach, and pray, but the church also needs deacons who will serve, support, and protect unity. Together, these two offices create a healthy, gospel-centered community. It's a great aspect of the service that they have. Like I said, I got to experience this on both sides. It was a pleasure to serve as a deacon, and now it's been a pleasure to serve as a pastor and experience deacons. You have a great group of deacons. After our service today, you'll have 17 deacons. Hopefully, the majority of them will join me up here as we're praying over these new ones so you can put faces to names. These are the men that us as a church have ordained, who have recognized the character of Christ within. So as we move to this part of it, it's more of the kind of installation in charge. There's going to be some important readings that we're going to do and some questions that I'm going to ask. And the first set of responses is really geared towards the deacons, particularly the five that are coming forward today. Those five, by the way, are Jacob King, Chris McLeod, Charlie Harris, Bruce Little, and David Overbay. So when they come forward here in a little bit, we'll pray over them. You'll get to see them a little more visually and be able to place names with faces. But for now, you can stay where you're at. But when the time comes to respond, make sure you respond. Otherwise, we'll call this whole thing off and move on. No, I'm kidding. We're not. It is important to remember that the position may be honorable, but it's a position of service. So what are the duties of deacons? In the Bible, the primary emphasis is given to what a deacon is to be, not to what a deacon is to do. Each church determines to some degree what it is that they need of their deacons. They are here to serve the church, to meet the needs of the congregation. And that will look different from place to place, so it's not as easy to say, hey, they do exactly this and exactly that. Those things change, like churches change, like times change, like needs change. What we do worry about, what we do care the most about, is who are these men? Is the character of Christ present in their life? Even the list given in 1 Timothy. Sometimes we as churches, if we're not careful, we turn this into some past tense checklist. Like, did they ever do any of these things wrong? All of the verbiage used in 1 Timothy is present tense. Is this person currently following Christ the way they should? Not did they in the past? Or did they make all kinds of mistakes in the past? Are they currently serving Christ in a way that brings him glory and aids the church? The inference is, if a person is what he ought to be, he will do what he ought to do. Out of the heart comes service. A right heart means right service. Acts gives us three clear callings of the deacons. One is to be of assistance to the pastor, be servants to the church, and be witnesses to the world. Deacons are to be assistants to the church, it says, is the first one. One problem with ministry today is this over-busyness, like everything is coming at you a million miles an hour. I used the analogy when I first got here that about the first 3 months is like drinking from a fire hose. And at some point, you can get your legs back under you and lean into it, but up until then, you're just getting blown over backwards the entire time. Well, that can happen anywhere in ministry, and deacons play a powerful role in taking some of that off of the pastoral staff of the church. Pastors are pulled in a lot of different directions. They don't have time always to pray or preach as they should. And when that happens, that's where deacons come in and step in. The New Testament church following Pentecost had experienced this kind of explosive growth. So great were the needs of the congregation and so generous were the gifts that the apostles became occupied in the distribution of food that they were neglecting what they were regarded as their primary responsibilities of prayer and preaching. They led the church to select the first deacons to take some of the practical responsibilities from the shoulders of the apostles so they would have time to pray, prepare, and preach. Thus, the deacon was and is to be an assistant to the pastor. So the first question I would ask of those that are currently seeking or currently serving or those that are about to begin serving, will you be an assistant to the pastor? There you go. It's answer time. Yes. Next one is to be servants to the church. Deacons are to serve the congregation. What's the nature of the service of a deacon? Well, that can vary from church to church and from time to time. However, it should include such things as ministering to the sick, ministering to the bereaved, visiting the unsaved, visiting the unaffiliated, building Christian fellowship, welcoming new members, performing acts of benevolence, administering ordinances, or promoting family worship. It could be any or all of those things. The Greek verb, diakine, which means deacon, it's where we get that word. It was a verb, now it's a noun. The verb meant to serve, and really it meant through dust. And what it meant was is that the servant would hurriedly react to the call of his master, the need of his master, so much so that they would stir up dust to get there. Through dust. Although the origin of the word is originally unknown, the concept of raising dust suggests the service being done quickly with eagerness. The deacon is a servant. He will do whatever needs to be done. So the next question for them then becomes, will you promise to serve the church? Then the last thing we're going to talk about are these three, be a witness to the world. Third, deacons are to witness to the world, be witnesses to the world. The selection of the first deacons pleased the whole multitude. A church that was in conflict suddenly found happiness and unity together. A church on the verge of splitting was reunited in love and purpose. And many were added to the church because of the witness of these good men. The importance of unity cannot be overstated. The Lord cannot work effectively in a church that is at odds with itself. I remind you, you were elected to solve problems, not create them. Because of what we are doing today, many of the pastor may have assistance. The congregation may have a servant, and hopefully the world will have a witness of what service to Christ looks like. So will you promise to be a witness of Jesus Christ to the world around you? First Peter 3:18 says, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So the overall question is, being of an assistant, being of service, being a witness. And when you take in the scope of all of those things, then the question I need answered is, do you accept this charge? Yes. All right, church, you're not off of the hook in this one. The church also has a responsibility. This responsibility is, again, threefold: to pray for them, to encourage them, and to respect them. Those obligations are imperative. We have to do these things. We are in a spiritual battle. And the most effective spiritual tool we have to help lift up these people in service is prayer. The church should pray for its deacons. The New Testament church was born out of prayer. Remember, the 120 were gathered in the upper room and began to pray, and then the Holy Spirit came on them at the day of Pentecost. Because of the moving of the Spirit of God, Peter preached, and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. As the church was born out of prayer, so it goes forward on the wings of prayer. There is nothing more important you can do for a person, especially a deacon or a pastor, than to pray for him. Someone has said, if you depend on organization, you get what an organization can do. If you depend on money, you get what money can do. If you depend on education, you get what education can do. But if you depend on prayer, you get what God can do. We desperately want what God can do in Colonial Heights Baptist Church. Will you pray for these men? Yes. A little reticence. I need one of those things like the game shows have, say like applause. The next is to encourage them. A church should encourage its deacon. Being an assistant to the pastor, a servant to the church, and a witness to the world is not as easy or even enviable as you might think. It's a tremendous weight of responsibility. They will spend long hours fulfilling their duties. They will grapple with challenging problems within the congregation. They will receive criticism and hear criticism. They will need your encouragement. One of Satan's primary tools in ministry is discouragement. If he can drive the wedge of discouragement into our Christian commitment and service, he has won a significant victory. Mark Twain once said, "I can live 3 months on a good compliment." There is enough discouragement in the world without us adding to it. May God grant that all of us will be encouragers. Will you encourage these men in all ways? Yes. The final question has to do with respect. The church should respect its deacons. The office is of servant. It doesn't have authority except that which is given by the church. We're not to follow anyone mindlessly, but we are supposed to offer respect to positions that have agreed to stand in higher accountability. When they offer a proposal, we should give it prayerful and careful consideration. We should understand they have access to facts that we may not have. Usually they have discussed and prayed over the matter thoroughly, and we should give strong consideration to their recommendations. Some of God's gifts to His church are in the form of gifted leaders. A church is blessed to have a deacon body that loves and serves Him as well as the congregation. Our duty is to pray for them, encourage them, and respect them. Will you respect the men who are serving as your deacons? Yes. If I could get the five now, Jacob, if you'll come forward. Chris, if you'll come forward. You can just stand down in front of the table here. Charlie, Bruce, David. Each one of these men, except for Jacob, had previously been ordained here at Colonial Heights Baptist Church. And it's my honor to welcome you to that brotherhood. I appreciate your willingness to serve. All of these guys, I've had an extensive chance to get to know. Jacob more recently, but Bruce and David were on the search committee that brought me here. So if you want to blame somebody, that might be a good place to start. Charlie serves in multiple roles here. Not only, he's also over facilities, so I have a lot of conversations with Charlie. And Chris, his wife works in the office with us, and then he does our 3-and-3 basketball, which has been really good, and it's done a great job with it. So I'm grateful for each one of them coming forward and doing this. I'm going to ask that our other deacons come forward, and that we offer a prayer over these men. This will kind of be the conclusion of our service today, but I want you to take a moment, and if you can, make your way forward towards the end and come up here and shake hands and meet your deacons. These are important people in the life of a church, and I would appreciate you being knowledgeable about who they are and knowing where you can go for help and direction when you need it. But let's kind of surround you guys if we can. Bill's only got one arm, so. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am grateful. Grateful for a deacon body who has already displayed so much of your character for me as a new pastor coming into this church. I'm grateful for their heart for service to you. Lord, I'm grateful for their heart for this church. Lord, we love you, and these men love you. And I am grateful for a church that loves you. I just pray your blessing on them as they step into this role of service, Lord, that we will pray for them, encourage them, and respect them. That you'll give them the conviction and compulsion to assist and to serve and to witness. Lord, may your will be done in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.